Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be back in the studio. Tara and I are going to be sharing from the Book of Acts and Tara's study called Tell It Well.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. I love this Bible study. I'm having so much fun with it. We are teaching this particular study in multiple places, Westside Church and at the Open Door Mission, and I'm teaching it at MP Dodge. Mm. And there's just a lot of different ways that God's opening up doors for us to share this. And then I have several people from all over the United States and a couple of different missionaries in different nations that are actually working the Bible study on the internet. And it helps to have a lot of eyes when you're writing something for the first time. But it's been fun to get feedback and hearing from people what they're learning and how God is speaking to them. I just this morning had an email from a woman who is preparing to be a missionary in Ghana, and her name is Sue, and it was just exciting because her eyes caught something that I hadn't caught, and, you know, here I'm in the ninth week of writing this series, and she just started. She's like, oh, have you realized this? And I went, no. It's, so it's been fun and helpful, but it's also been fun because people give me feedback and how it just really motivates them to be bolder and speaking the truth.
I love that.
And I have a good pastor friend in California. His name is Jonathan, and he's one of my seminary buddies. And he just went through and looked at the series to give me some feedback. And he was so encouraging to me. He just said, Tara, you know, your questions are better than anything I could have written. I was just like, are you serious? Laugh out loud. That's hilarious, you know, kind of thing, you know, on the email to write back. But so I was encouraged by what I'm getting and hearing from people on it. So I just wanted to say thank you to those that are listening that are part of that.
Praise God.
I know. He's so good. As far as Acts, we're now going into Acts 2. And this is the time that they've been waiting for. We began last month looking at Acts 1, and that is from the time of the ascension and then what Jesus told them to do. And if you remember, last month we were looking at the fact that Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. They were to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And so today what we're going to find out is that they've done exactly as the Holy Spirit said. So let's listen and see, as I'll tell you this particular passage before we go into the teaching time. It was about the time as the day of Pentecost, and as the disciples and all the people were gathering, they had all of a sudden this incredible rushing wind that began to blow amongst them, and they didn't know where it came from, and it ended up filling the house. And as this wind came and it filled the house, it began to light upon the apostles. And as it fell upon them, tongues of fire hit them. And as it happened, they began to speak in different languages, in the languages of those that were present. And it was such an amazing event that people from all the nations that were represented, there were 16 different nations represented, which was all the nations in the world, were so surprised by what they were seeing. And they said, how is this possible? Are not these men Galileans? And they're like, what is going on? What does this mean? And what a group of people weren't just surprised, but they actually accused the disciples of being drunk. And at this point, Peter stood up. He's like, okay, men, all right, you know, you need to listen, and you need to listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. And you need to get this straight. This is important you understand. He said, this is not new. This is not new. This came from the prophet Joel. And it says, he said in that what we know, he said in the last days, there were going to be sons and daughters that would prophesy. There was going to be young men who would see visions. There are going to be old men who dream dreams. There will be servants, both male and female, will prophesy. Mm. People will work miracles. It will be the most amazing time. And Joel told us, and then when this is done happening, the Lord is going to appear. And those that believe in Jesus when this happens, they're the ones that will be saved. And all of the people were gathering and listening. He says, now I want you to listen to this. Not only did the prophet Joel say this, but it was a part of God's plan. God had a plan. And in his plan was that he sent his son to do these miracles, these signs and these wonders that we're a part of. And you know this and you know it's true. And then he began to say, you know, it was part of God's plan. It was God's plan that Jesus would die. It was his plan that he would die. And you handed him over to evil men. But God set him free from death and raised him to life because death could not hold him. And at this point, Peter began to proclaim what David, the prophet David, had said. And they would have been very familiar with this prophecy. And he said, and David said the words of Jesus, the Messiah. These were the things that he said. And he said, I will always have the Lord before me. He will always be with me. I am not going to be afraid. I will not be afraid because he is at my right side. Not only is he at my right side, but my heart is glad. My words are joyful. I live in hope, and he will not leave me in the grave. He will not abandon me, for I am his holy one, and my body will not see decay. Not only that, he will show me the path of life and the way that I need to go, and he's going to make me glad because he is near. Peter then began to remind them. This, again, was not new to them. David was your ancestor, and you know it's true. He's buried, and it's not about him. He was a prophet, yes, but he knew God's promise, and he knew God does not break his promises. And someone from the family, he said that David had said that from our family line, someone's going to come that will be the king. He told us that Christ would raise to life. He said God would not leave him, his body, and he would not decay. It would not decay. And that he would raise Christ from the dead to life. He took Jesus and sat him then at his right hand, and he gave him the Holy Spirit. He poured out the Holy Spirit upon him, and he said that what you have seen and heard, the Father told Jesus, and I'm going to place you at my right hand. I'm going to sit you down beside me and make the enemies of my Son your footstool. And what I'm telling you, you know it's true. It's truth. So even though you killed him, God raised him. And at this, the people were astounded. They didn't know what to do. And the only thing that they could say is, what must we do? They were so cut to the heart, they cried out, what do we do? What do we do? And Peter says, you need to repent. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you need to receive the Holy Spirit. This is both for you and your children and for all that the Lord chooses. You need to save yourself from this sick and stupid culture that you live in. And on that day, over 3,000 people believed. And as that happened, they began to spend their time together. They began to gather. And as they were gathering, they began to do the apostles' teaching. And they were learning and fellowshipping and eating and praying. And they were just filled with awe of what all that God had done. And they began to hold all things in common. And they would meet daily, and they would gather and eat and praise God and enjoy the fellowship and favor and blessing that God gave them. Because God began to increase the church. May God honor the story of his word. This particular passage of Acts has so much in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peter comes in and he proclaims the prophet Joel. He proclaims David. He talks about their ancestry. He tells what God's plan was. He makes it very clear to them what the solution is. And I mean, it's just a mighty day in the Lord of what happens that day at Pentecost. Now, what typically happens when people read Acts 2? What do you think it is, Sabrina, that most people are going to focus in on?
I would say the repent.
The repentance?
Yeah,
the repentance. I would hope so. I would hope so. You know, a lot of people will come in and they will just hone in on the Holy Spirit. A lot of times when this particular passage, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I just want to clarify something really quick, because yes, we have here that they are waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. But we have to understand this is not the first time that the Holy Spirit has shown up. We can go to Genesis 1, and it tells us, I'm just going to real quick, Sabrina, actually, why don't you do that for us? Okay. I want you to flip to Genesis 1 and read to us Genesis 1 and 2 so that we can see the Holy Spirit has been at work since creation. So it's not the first time that the Holy Spirit shows up.
Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Who was hovering?
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. And so here at Pentecost, we have the hovering of the Holy Spirit that manifests the ability for them to speak in languages. And I mean, every people group from every nation. And my favorite thing that it says at the end of this passage is it talks about all the different peoples, and it's like the Medes, the mm-hmm. Cretes. And and he ends with saying, when he's listing out the 16 different people groups, and even the Arabs, and I mean, he's like listing out even those that we wouldn't anticipate being there. And it's just so exciting to see all of these people were there. Here, let me see. I want to read it to you. It says in the last part, it says, even the Cretans and Arabs were there, were hearing and declaring the wonders of God in their own language, in their own tongue.
Wow.
I mean, to show that people that they would not have anticipated being a part mm-hmm. of this Pentecost environment in this gathering were there. And as they were there, they were hearing God speak in their own language the wonders of what he's done.
Wow.
And, oh, it's such an amazing time. It's an amazing time. So what we're going to look at is that we're going to go through and we're going to see that a person who is walking with authenticity, because that's the whole point of the Tell It Well series and why we're looking at Acts 1 through 12, is we're trying to look at what does it mean to do and to teach as Jesus did. And in order for us to do that, we have to have an authentic walk. Mm. And through that, what we're going to see is that each chapter of Acts shows us different ways the disciples actually told or storied what happened with Christ. Mm. And in this particular case, what we're going to look at is that Peter hones in on a couple of points that are very important for the people to understand. And the first thing that we need to understand is that he makes it very clear to them, God keeps his promises. Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Mm. And what happened? They went and they waited. And what happened?
Holy Spirit came.
He did. Okay, Pentecost, just to give you a little background, is the time, it's the feast. It's a feast that they have, and it typically falls 10 days after, well, in this case, it falls 10 days after the resurrection. And so it's a 10-day period that we see actually occur of them waiting from Christ's ascension to, it's 50 days from the resurrection, 10 days from the ascension of Christ. Wait, how did I say that? Okay, I totally messed myself up. The resurrection, 50 days from the resurrection to the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is the same as, you know, penta meaning 50. So it's kind of cool how that all works out, okay? Totally got myself tongue-tied there. Totally easy to
do. Okay, you got back on track.
Yeah, I did. And when God keeps his promises, one of the things that we have to understand is we oftentimes, when we think about doing things for the Lord, for the kingdom of God, to do and to teach as Jesus did, it's very easy for us not to do things in order. But what we're going to find is that God is a God of order. Mm-hmm. Here's a question for you. Sabrina, what do you think it would have been like if Peter stood up and gave this sermon before the Holy Spirit came?
There would have been no power.
No power.
No authority.
No authority. What good would that do?
It would have been all in his own strength. It had been just him, the words dropping to the ground.
Yeah. And would 3,000 people believe that day?
No.
Do you think people would have believed?
I would say there'd be some that would be enthusiastic about it and be, you know, on the hype, excited. And then a couple days later, they would go right back to
Yeah. I mean, but Peter and them believed without the Holy Spirit being in them. I think people could believe up to that point, but you're right. It's not going to have the power or the impact or the life change.
Exactly.
I mean, that is so accurate to what it was like. Think of the order, the sequential order of what God is doing, because what I want us to really gather is that there's a timing when God does things. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and then he begins this proclamation, and the first thing he says is that, you know, he wants them to understand, one, you know this.
Well, and it's so, when you are seeking God, I mean, they were seeking him, they were waiting, they were listening. It was a communication. It wasn't, okay, God, got the answer, now I'm good.
Right.
I mean, it was constant communication. And so that's the beautiful thing. And I think don't be discouraged if you're waiting.
Waiting's a good place. Yeah. I think we place it as being bad, but it's not a bad thing.
No.
It's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
Look at what happened.
I know. The power came. The power came. I want in Acts 2:4. Would you read that verse for us?
Mm-hmm. Acts 2:4 from the NIV. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
I love it. Okay, I'm going to end this section, and then next week you have to come back and listen because I'm going to talk more in detail about what this means. But that word filled actually means, it comes from pimplemi, which means to be full, to be complete. It's ended. It's a done deal. Or the Message translation, I really like how he uses the word diffused. And what has happened is that the Holy Spirit has come into them and filled them, and it's a completion of what God has already begun. He's bringing it to completion. And by having within that definition that it's ended, it signifies that the sealing of the Holy Spirit ends the work of what God has begun in them and his power being made known, okay? And I think what often happens as a believer, at least in North America, we can forget that completion's been done in us. And we become complacent, not thinking about the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been bestowed inside us, and that filling is complete and secure. And we need to take back and honor that which we have already been given from the giver, and grasp the fact that God keeps his promises and that he never breaks a promise. Going back to the first promise of what Peter began to proclaim to them is the fulfillment that God made a promise and he honored it. He sent the Holy Spirit and he filled them. And not only did he do that, but then he did a greater work in them and through them. And he wants to do that work in us and through us. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we hope to hear back from you. Contact us at cultivatinghearts.org or terrorye.com. God bless.